And now we come to the fourth. And in this section, it's mindfulness of the Dharma. The Dharma means the teachings. The Dharma means truth. Dharma also means all things. So in this particular section, there's teachings to contemplate. So there are four specific areas. The first area is impermanence. And over the days, quite a lot has been said about impermanence. So I think we might need a translation of the word contemplate, perhaps? No? Okay. So thank you. We simply contemplate, but with the contemplation, we're also directly experiencing impermanence. Often it's easy to have a theoretical understanding of what impermanence is, but the invitation is to directly know it in the body, through the body, and then we see or know the impermanence, and then perhaps some insights will emerge in relationship to it. There's three other areas. We'll come to that. Let's just do them one at a time today. So the instruction is, I say the instruction and then you simply endeavor to do it for 3 or 4 minutes. Breathing in, contemplating impermanence. Breathing out, contemplating impermanence. So I'm interested in a really direct experience. Anyone like to share a direct experience of impermanence? Yes. Yes.
And it's in a way like counting the time left for me.
Yes. So it was a direct knowing of the passing of time.
Yeah. And then I became, this is definitely not a direct feeling, but
yes.
I became glad that everything is impermanent because I thought if something was permanent, everything had to be permanent, and then there would be nothing. Like nothing was going to
yes. If, yes, yes. The impermanence makes all things possible. And if there were no impermanence, we'd be utterly stuck. Okay, so this is the, initially the direct experience and then the reflection upon it. Beautiful. Anyone else? Yes. No, no, we're after direct experience. Direct experience, yes.
I had a dream in my bed yesterday.
Yes.
And suddenly it's now.
Ah.
Suddenly it's now.
Okay. So the pain in the leg that had been there for some time yesterday and this morning, and it's vanished. Okay. So pain is impermanent.
Yeah, it wasn't the pain. It was hard to remember. I remember it, but in a minute I want to take a pill, but I didn't.
Yes.
It's gone along.
Yes. So with attention, did you put attention inside the body?
Yes, I did some exercise.
Yes, yes.
Though I did also yesterday, this morning it's helped me more.
Yes, okay. So sometimes when we all sit together, there's an extraordinary power of attention and the focus is strong, and I think sometimes when we are just sitting for 3 minutes, what it does is it takes away any notion of I can't do this, how will I bear the pain for 45 minutes in the session. So it takes that away, and with that kind of release there's just the clarity of being with, and sometimes when we're just directly with pain it can cease. Yes. Yes. So the tenderness, that very tender approach has helped. Beautiful. Anyone else? A direct experience. Yes. 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 Wonderful. So there's a trust in your capacity to be with life as it unfolds. When we project into the future, we worry. There's anxiety, there's uncertainty. We don't know how we're going to cope. When we really come to our direct experience, here and now, present moment awareness, there's relief. We can be with life as it unfolds. And that gives us a way of being with life that's unproblematic. And life unfolds incredibly freely. One more. Yes. Yes.
On the other hand, when something very permanent in the breath, which can mean after things to be lifted up, which is also bringing a lot of, like it's constant, it's not, there's no change in this. It is permanent. The sun, every day, every morning, there's something, every day it will be different, every day it will be the same.
Ah.
It's something permanent. Impermanent is a great, like it's wonderful, it's true, but also truth for me is that it's the permanence of the thing.
Okay. Sometimes when we sit, we see the impermanent nature of all things, but we also get a sense of something else. Now, I spoke a little about it in the Dharma talk last night. It's quite difficult to understand. It's best understood directly. I wouldn't go as far as calling it permanent because I think that sets up a difficulty with the teachings. But the Buddha did actually refer to a knowing and an understanding in many, many, many different ways and words. There's more than 100 words that he used to describe freedom and liberation. So there's freedom, liberation, the unconditioned, the deathless, the unchanging is one of them. So sometimes he used the unchanging, and there can certainly, from my own experience, definitely be a sense of that which is unwavering. There's a knowing of that which is unborn, unwavering. And when we really start seeing into impermanence deeply, we also get this other sense. We see that all phenomena are shifting and changing, and yet that's not the end of our understanding. Impermanence is a characteristic of existence. It's the way in which phenomena and objects and things exist, arise, stay a little bit, cease, begin and end. When we really start diving rather deeply into the depths of our being, we can also have a sense or a whisper or a taste or a knowing of something else. Thank you.
What is wavering?
Wavering means to go like this, like a wave. And when we sense that there's the unwavering, there's something that is vast, ever-present, if you like, not dependent upon the comings and goings of life. So when we really understand the Dharma, we understand the freedom that isn't bound to that which comes and goes. Let's go on to the next contemplation. The next contemplation is about fading away. Now, what it refers to is the fading away of desire. The fading away of desire and attachment. The fading away of our clinging. So it's not that we're just going to sit here and we expect everything to disappear. Occasionally that does happen in our meditation. But the fading away is really the fading away of our suffering, the fading away of our the power that of desire that drives us to want or not want. That loosening, that fading away. And sometimes we can reflect on life and think, oh, a year or two ago I was much more feisty and fiery and reactive and distressed than I am now. So this is our tendency to be angry, fading away. Let's just do it and see if anyone can directly experience fading away. Breathing in, contemplating, fading away. Breathing out, contemplating, fading away. So again, a direct experience of fading away. Yes. 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 Yes.
And
desire to be in control in meditation.
Ah.
And to be like a little attention.
Yes.
And now I'm just saying, right?
Yes.
I had a meditation and I wasn't trying to control anything, wasn't trying to put that or succeed or whatever. And the meditation was jumpy, exaggerated, but I went with the flow.
Yes.
The way I came still is like, as if I'm putting an effort and enthusiasm without doing so.
Okay. So it was the fading away of controlling the meditation. Beautiful. We think we are in control. We think we are chief controller. Unfortunately, the world we live in cannot be controlled. So when we come to our practice, we need, of course, to come to it with enthusiasm, but sometimes we can have this delightfully paradoxical experience where when the control and the wanting falls away, when the wanting just ceases, there's our capacity to be with life fully, with ease. Yes, this is it. Right there is the freedom. Yes. In the palms, yes.
And then,
yes. In, you turned your palms up? Yes. 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 So the sensations were in the palms. The palms were turned upwards. And this is just this beautiful upward palm is just the letting go. And then it seemed easier to let go of all the sensations in the body. Lovely. So it's the fading away of anything difficult. Yes? Yes. Yes. Yes, the fist. Yes. 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 So we can hold something like this, or we can do it like this. Yeah. Thank you. So again, the fading away of control. Oh, so many people. Sorry, there was someone at the back first. Okay. Okay. I know that sometimes you want the bell to ring for the end of the sitting. So are you saying you were at peace with the sitting? Okay. Beautiful. The fading away of longing for the bell. Yes.
I felt like there's a desire.
Yes.
That's coming from the belly up.
Yes.
But it wasn't a desire for something.
Yes.
It's just I just felt the pleasure of the desire. And then I just felt satisfied. And everything just lands here.
Okay, so it was the fading away of dissatisfaction.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll take that.
Yeah.
That would be great. And we can just know it in a very small experience. Ah, I don't feel dissatisfied anymore. We have to see that, catch it, know it. There was somebody else here. Yes? More analytical thoughts. So you were thinking about it. Yes. Wanting mind, an urge for more.
Yeah. And then if you wait for a few moments, I wait for a few moments, it fades away. And then I thought like it's a very good example. And it's not for nothing that we say still for like this way to say something in Hebrew, because this is what happens to will in other situations in life as well. And I started thinking about other situations like relationships and thoughts where I am like very attached and with a lot of wanting, and then it fades away, just like this thing that happens in the end of the day.
Yes. So our urge to have more food can fade away, and so can our attachment to relationships. It directly in your 3-minute sit, what faded away? Yeah. I know you did. Okay. All right. Again, direct experience is what I'm after at the back. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Ah. I didn't hear the last sentence. Yes. 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 So the realization that something you'd done or said hurt somebody, so there was a feeling of stickiness and perhaps some difficulty, emotional difficulty around that, and then there's the fading away of that. So lovely, great descriptions of fading away directly. Yes?
I got back to the memory.
Yes?
When my dog was sick and I was worried that she's going to die.
Ah.
And I remember that I started back then to disconnect myself from the I want to care to die.
Yes.
And now I look at it again, and I felt really that I understand that she will probably die for me.
Yes.
And I think that my fear of her death.
Yes. Yes. So when something or somebody dear to us is ill, we sometimes have a protective mechanism that kicks in where we say, oh, well, it's all right if that happens. Yet when we really look at it, it's actually very painful. So now you're seeing, okay, the dog, my friend, will probably die before me. And what was the next part of your exploration?
Yes. I still love her and I still have the memory.
Yes.
Yeah. I really said that she would die.
Yes.
I
yes. Okay. So understanding the impermanent nature of things allows us to face death and loss without being devastated. You understand that she will die, but the love you have will be untouched by the death. This is a really important point. When we lose someone we love, or something, a dog, a pet, the love we have is unchanged. And this is the deep love that we as human beings can know and feel, the love that isn't dependent upon life and death, the love that isn't dependent upon whether someone is here with us in a particular form or not. When we lose someone, the love remains. That's extraordinary. And in that love is a sense of comfort. Because we're looking at that which isn't dependent upon birth and death coming and going. We're getting a sense of that which is our freedom of heart, a sense of the deep wisdom we can know as human beings, where we can still love. It doesn't mean we're never sad. Of course we are. We don't want to be hard-hearted. So there is loss. There is sadness. Yet there is a knowing of love that's untouched by death. And with that can come the fading away of our fear of death as well. Let's do the next instruction. The next instruction is about cessation. By cessation, I mean the endings of things. Alaya, could you translate, please? Cessation. Thank you. Yes. Fading away refers to the fading away of desire, the fading away of attachment. Cessation means the ending of something. So what we're doing is we're contemplating the end of the moment, the end of the breath, the end of our attachment, perhaps. We're looking at the endings. In the tradition, there's a great focus on being with the dead bodies. In Thailand, it's being in the charnel grounds, it's called, being with the bodies laid out. The monks go to the morgue and see the bodies. When the Lord Abbot at the monastery died in Saranath, he was there in his, you know, glass box, and people came and we sat with the dead body. This is a tradition, and the purpose is that we see that we are of the nature to end. We are of the nature to die. We are not different. And it's a powerful, deep, very confronting sometimes reflection. So what we're contemplating here is the ending of something. Clear? Okay. So, yes, from impermanence. When we see that something is impermanence, yes, impermanent, it arises and ceases. That's an ending. Yes, that's what we're looking at. So let's explore. Sometimes we also will see the ending of a feeling, or the ending of a thought, or we had earlier the ending of a pain. Notice the tendency of mind to compare. Okay. Breathing in. Contemplating cessation. or the endings. Breathing out, contemplating cessation. So again, a direct experience, please, of contemplating endings, cessation. Yes.
Very, very happy ending.
Yes. The part of your life? Yes. 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 And the emotion you're feeling now? Yes. Yes. So when we're with loss, when we're with the endings, there can of course be the sadness and the sorrow. There can also be relief and happiness. Thank you. There was someone here before. Did you have your hand up before? Yes. Yes. She said when she lost her mother and her father, but not together. Yes. Ah. Mm-hmm. Yes, okay, beautiful. Sometimes when someone dies, there's a feeling of completeness. And the feeling of completeness comes through the natural circumstances. This is the natural way of things. But within us, there's also a deep knowing. And you said, they are with you. We can have this deep knowing of that which is never lost, that which cannot be lost. And when we lose somebody, and I know this from losing my little grandson, when we lose someone we really, really love, the comfort is found in the knowing of that which can never be lost. And sometimes this knowing, of course, comes in the form of love, the love we feel within us, the touching into that love. So yes, the form, the person we knew has ended, yet there is the knowing of that which can never be lost. The Buddha called this the unborn supreme security. And he pointed to the fact that it's useless, really, to look for security in the impermanent, but there is the knowing of that which is unborn. And this is where security is found. And this is where comfort is found in these situations. Thank you. Behind you. Yes. Yes. Yes.
And then I try to focus on the air.
Yes.
And then the next beginning.
Yes.
And there was this very small gap.
Yes.
Very, very tiny gap.
Yes.
I was observing the breath.
Yes.
And in that gap, it seems like there is something that is not present.
Ah.
Like I cannot breathe like this spaciousness.
Hmm.
There's nowhere to land.
Yes.
And
yes.
Then things become less personal. So breath is less personal.
Yes.
Desire is less personal. It doesn't, it wasn't fading away and not, it wasn't stopping. It's not that it's not existing. It's
yes.
There. It's very strong, very powerful. Very
yes.
Consistent. But suddenly it says like this control over me.
Yes. Yes.
Less control over something.
Yes. Yes.
And there is a sense like no matter where I do, what door I enter, always goes back to that freedom.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Beautiful. Beautiful. So when we see the spaciousness that seems to be initially between the ending and the beginning, consciousness opens out, and that spaciousness is not personal. Liberation isn't personal. So often we go, I want to be free. So there is the personal in the I, there's the desire and the wanting. Yet the freedom is found when we recognize and see that which isn't personal. And then, of course, you gave the absolutely beautiful and wonderful description of how that flows out, if you like, how that embraces all of your life. And then everywhere you look, there is the freedom. Because the self has nowhere to land. The self is non-clinging. The self is not gripping anywhere. When the self doesn't grip anywhere, there's infinite unfolding freedom. This life unfolds incredibly freely when we just don't attach to any part of it. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Yes. You don't want the things to end? Yes.
Some romantic immediately. I was listening to it. It was the greatest that it was.
Yes.
So I missed it to become bigger and greater.
Do you mean bigger and greater in a problematic way? Or
I don't know. Even if it's something hurts.
Yes. Yes.
So I looked at it after, so oh, it was so that I felt like I'm alive.
Yes, yes.
Like it's become romantic.
Then the whole of life is romantic. Okay, thank you. Yes, there was someone behind. Yes. Yes.
So it's kind of like getting an experience of trust.
Yes.
That there will be a new beginning.
Yes.
Also, to say that my mother's passing in some way, thinking she had cancer and seeing her in the last moments, and it was very obviously painful. But then, think that her soul. Whatever she is, it's going to continue because there's no real cessation. Not in that sense. It's not a cessation of desire, it's a cessation of wanting, but like, we have so much fear of endings, I think, and particularly death. And then to have just the ability to trust that we're not seeing the whole picture.
Yes. Thank you. Well seen, well done. Thank you. David. Did you want to say something? Did you have your hand up before? No. Yes, one more thing.
The fly chose me as its companion.
Yes.
First, I contemplated the ways I wanted to vanish. And we became friends with it.
Okay. So what ceased was you wanting the fly to go away. Okay. Yes.
At the beginning, when I thought about the ending, so I had an image of the things that ended, the difficulties that I had when I was young, and now,
yes.
And now I don't deal with them. So
yes.
I felt like pleasure.
Yes.
And it gave me also an optimistic view about my children, like, okay, they're having difficulties, but it will be over. They will get.
Even their difficulties will end, yes.
Yeah, yes. And then I followed, I had this pain, and I said, okay, so just don't let the will of him and let him go, just watch. And it was very interesting because when I let go of the will,
yes,
the last stage before, I remembered that it will end.
Yes.
When I remember that it will end, I just like came back and said, okay,
yes.
Trust the process.
Yes, yes.
So it will end. All things come to an end. Like,
yeah.
And this was very, and it went away. It was like a way.
Yes.
It went away. It was very, very beautiful to watch it. And also, I was putting less energy in things and wanting them to change. I just let go, and the body had these things to do. I didn't need to interfere.
Okay, so just trusting your capacity to be with life,
yeah,
without attaching to any little bit of it, and thinking of your children, trusting that difficulties, their difficulties too, can come to an end. Lovely. Difficulty ends. Sorrow can come to an end. Suffering ends. Attachments end. Desire ends. And so on. Yes. Yes. So she said the direct ending of the breathing of her father, who was very ill. A little louder if you could. Yes. Yes. Oh, lovely. Yes. Ah. Yes. 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 The ending of the heartbeat?
Yes.
And the breathing. Yes. 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 So there's something rather potent in this ending. Yes. Yes. It's powerful, it's potent, and it's blessed when there's love and care. So beautiful. Thank you. Let's do the final instruction. We're going to go a little over time, I'm sorry. This is the ultimate instruction, if you like, the key instruction, and it's about relinquishment. So we know our freedom when we let go. Relinquishment means to let go, or simply to let be. And so as we meet life, We need to learn to meet it with the spirit of letting go. So, if you would please, the very final instruction. Breathing in, contemplating relinquishment. Breathing out, contemplating relinquishment. Letting go. Letting go of everything. Of thought, feelings, ideas, troubles. The whole lot. So, breathing in. Contemplating relinquishment. Breathing out. Contemplating relinquishment. So again, did anybody have a direct experience of letting go? Yes.
I could see follow the instruction.
Yes.
Let go of it was very expensive.
Yes. So we also let go of the instruction. The instruction is not the meditation itself. The instruction sets up the condition for the knowing of freedom. Yes.
It's one that with me for many years. I felt it's important to let go and to trust something.
Yes.
And just let go.
Yes.
The words that you say, living, loving, whatever, just let go to this.
Yes. And? Okay, so there was a sense of really letting go right now.
Hopefully.
Oh, a little holding back. Okay, so, yes, yes, yes. we can't control things. We can't control everything. We can only trust our direct experience. That's where the understanding comes from. That's where the wisdom is. That's where the freedom's found, in direct experience. Yes? Yes.
It reminded me when I let go a little bit of when I was depressed.
Yes.
And I had like everything. I let go of everything. But then, like I was feeling very heavy and letting go even of holding my body.
Yes.
Again.
Yes.
And it was like a feeling that okay, let go everything, and again it's like with the breath that going out from making
yes.
something new. If I let go of things,
yes.
then maybe I can build something new.
Yes. So if I let go, something new comes. Lovely. And sometimes we hold to things because we fear if we let go, we'll fall apart completely. And if we've had painful experiences in the past, this can be difficult. But I'm sensing in you something quite different now. You said some energy came to support you and your back straightened. That's where the strength is. Know that feeling for yourself. This way of really being with life, straight back. Stand, sit tall, with ease. You will not fall apart. Beautiful. Yes?
One of the difficult things for me to let go of is feeling bad.
Yes.
And sometimes...
Wouldn't it be good to let go of feeling bad?
Sometimes there's some reason for a difficult feeling.
Yes.
Then I tell myself, okay, I can be with this. But other times, there's just no point. And that's what happens now. I'm feeling bad all morning.
Yes.
And I thought, there's just no need for this.
This is called disenchantment. We're feeling bad and we're like, oh, do I want to keep on doing this? There's no need for it. Just let go. Then it comes. We become so disenchanted with our entrenched habitual behaviors that we can just let them go. We get sick of ourselves eventually. Disenchantment?
Entrenched.
Yeah. Disenchantment. Sometimes we're seduced by our own negativity. We don't need to be. We can let it be. We can let it go. We can see the ending of it. One more.
I closed my eyes and I was worried because you said we're trying to find
out. Oh. Yes.
And then I realized I'm cleaning on my robe.
Yes. Yes.
Then I just put in the instruction and put the intention and took out the air.
Yes. 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 So what you relinquished was attachment to the role, but with that relinquishment came a sense of ease and peace. So be it.
Yeah.
Yes. So then there's ease, a way of being with life that's rather free. Without worry and stress and pressure on the mind. This is the key. So I think we'll leave it there. Thank you so much over the days for doing the 3-minute meditations and reporting on your experience. I think it's really valuable and precious to learn from one another. And what we see and understand by doing this is that right here in the room is extraordinary wisdom. And we touch that depth of wisdom when we just come to our direct experience and see into it. Vipassana means to see into life. And this is the way we do it. We do it by sitting with our direct experience, with reflection and contemplation, and then the insights and the wisdom arises. It's there. The wisdom doesn't go anywhere. The freedom doesn't go anywhere. We can touch into our natural freedom anytime we like. You saw others doing it here, and hopefully you felt it yourself, even for a moment, that lovely capacity we have to touch our natural freedom of heart. And if we can be with life in this way, then what ends is our suffering. What ends is the difficulty in life. So thank you, each of you. I very much appreciate it. And please, if you want to take up these instructions, as I said, we could take them up almost for a lifetime and still tease out the honey, the Buddha said, squeeze out the honey from the experience. Take care, enjoy, and thank you very much. Today there's a number of interviews on offer from all three teachers. There's some lists on the board. Anything to announce tomorrow? Okay. Walking meditation. Again, bringing attention, being present. The retreat has not ended. There's more to do. Here's the list. Thank you. Questions for the evening? Yes, we've got a pile already, but more would be welcome. Thank you.